Well, good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me just begin by thanking you for your prayer. We are so blessed to be able to share Christ with hungry people. And it's such an assurance in our heart to know that I don't know all that it means, but Colossians 1, verse 11, it says, you also helping by prayer. So prayer helps. Amen. And I thank God for that, that you've been praying. And since we've been here, we've been a lot of places, and Canada, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, California. So we just thank the Lord. We know that every word that went out of his mouth will not return void. Some of it went out as rain and had immediate fruit. Some went out as snow. That's his illustration. And so we'll wait and see. I never put a lot of stock in reception, the early reception, because of the parable of the sower, that the seed that fell on the stony ground received the word with joy, and then there was no soil. And so how they receive it, I mean, people aren't cruel. They're not going to say, that was terrible. They're just kind. They're going to say nice things. So the years tell the story. I know everything that went out of my mouth that was not of the Lord will be rooted up. Our Father's faithful. And everything that came out of his mouth, he's going to use. But thank you for holding us in prayer. And then before we pray now, I'd like to pray and fill you in on the latest that the Lord has guided us on the Joshua. Our sister, as she was sharing about her son, David, made me think of a scripture that recently has taken on new meaning. And so I just run that picture by Paul. Said he wants to give you a picture. I want to give you a picture. It's where God took Moses, put him in the cleft of the rock, Exodus 33. And his prayer was as our sister's. We want to see God's glory. And so to see God's glory, he puts you in a dark place. Then he puts his hand in front, and it gets darker, and you don't know, have a clue what God is doing. But then he gives his word that while you're in that dark place abiding in Christ, his goodness is passing by. He's not in the dark place. He's doing something, and his goodness is passing by. And then after a while, he lifts his hand and says, I'll show you some. I'll show you the back. You don't know everything, but you can see the back part of the Lord. So don't be afraid to abide in the rock. Know with great and growing assurance that he's passing by and he's still at work and doing good things. And in due time, he might give you a glimpse, a little bit, of what he's accomplishing. But I wanted to share that picture because she brought it to my mind. All right, so I must begin with the indispensable principle. And even though I'm going to not really be sharing the word, but what we'll be sharing about the word, we need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And, Daniel gave us the interpretation of the dream. Remember Nebuchadnezzar's dream? But then if we study Daniel's interpretation of the dream, we need God's light on Daniel's interpretation. And so we always need the Holy Spirit. So let's just pray, and then I'll share my heart. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit who always leads us to Christ and to the heart of God. And we just pray, even as I share now, that it would be clear. And I thank you so much for how you've been meeting us in our study. Thank you for the saints that have been praying and for the anticipation of what you're going to do and how you're going to manifest yourself. when we have our gathering. And so we commit that unto you, but now this little season of sharing, I commit it unto you and pray that your Holy Spirit would enable us to understand your heart. Take us to Jesus.
Amen.
We ask in Jesus' name.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
When quite a few weeks ago, I don't know how many, I didn't remember, but I was asked if I would share the direction that we were going to go. And at that time, everything was in its incipient stages. And I told you at that time that the Lord has pointed out where to dig, and I knew where to dig, and had some idea of the treasure that we were going to find. But since that day, there has been a lot of donkey work and a lot of digging, and so there's been a few alterations. So what I'd like to do is just sort of review what I told you then, and then show you how the Lord has straightened us out a little bit, and is, you know, how he bumps you and puts you back on the path. Well, anyway, 2 Samuel 13:14, it speaks about David the king, and it said, "The Lord sought out a man after his own heart." And you have the same truth in Acts chapter 13, verse 21. "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will." And it began with David. The verse that was so key and will be key at Joshua is 2 Chronicles 16:9. 2 Chronicles 16:9, you remember, strangely enough, this verse is given in the middle of a rebuke. You wouldn't expect that from this verse. "The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." And I pointed out that it's not, God is not looking for someone who is strong, but someone to whom he can show himself strong. He's looking for a heart that's open, a heart that desires him. God desires to be desired. And when we desire the Lord and our heart is open, God is seeking for that kind of a person. And he's looking all over to find that kind of an individual. And the point, bringing it back to David, he found that kind of heart in David. And so David became God's illustration. And that illustration cast a shadow. David had a heart, and on that heart, the life of God flowed. And you know all about that story. But David became sort of the standard. He cast a shadow. He had an influence because he was a man after God's heart. It seems like when we're going to limit ourselves to the kings of Judah, but the Lord showed himself to other people in other ways. But we're going to sort of focus on the kings. His own son Solomon, we read this in 2 Kings 11:6, "Solomon did not follow the Lord fully as his David, his father, had done." And you're only one man removed, and already he's not following like David. And then there was a king named Abijam, 1 Kings 15. His heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord as the heart of his father David. And once again, Amaziah in 2 Kings 14:3. "He did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like his father David." And David was sort of the standard. And as I was studying, Tom and I were studying, we saw that there were five kings that God especially pointed out. The commentators call them the reformers. And, you know, as you go through the 19 kings of Judah, there were these great reformers. And then there were those who were relatively good, there are four of those. But mostly it was not a good picture. Asa, 1 Kings 15:11. Asa did what was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 17:3. He followed the example of his father David's earlier days. Hezekiah, 2 Kings 18:3. He did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. Josiah, 2 Kings 22:2. He walked in all the ways of his father David, and he did not turn aside from the right or to the left. And then we threw one more in there, Uzziah. It doesn't directly say that he walked in the ways of David, but he walked in the ways of his father, who did not wholly walk in the ways of David. But there's this connection with David. There's five lessons. I needed another king. And so we got Uzziah. But since that early study, the Lord has given a clearer message. And that's what I want to share with you. Since you're praying and since we're all calling on the Lord, we want to be going in the direction of his heart. David does represent the heart that's after God. There's no question about that. And David indeed has an influence that lasted, if you're just looking at the kings, another 350 years. He had that influence. But the Lord checked us on this. As Tom and I were studying together, the Lord checked us, because we were about to make the same mistake that the Jews made. And that is to expect the Lord to come in a different way and then miss the Lord, because he didn't come as we expected him to come. Will you at this time restore the kingdom of David? Are you going to do it again? I think I had my eyes, and I hope I didn't lead your eyes to somebody called David, because that's not the message. We don't want to see David. You're not going to Joshua to see the man after God's heart, David. And so we don't want to look at David or the kings that he influenced. We're not coming either to study Isaiah and Jehoshaphat and Uzziah and Hezekiah and Josiah. I hope we're not. That's not our goal. Anyway, God took us, and our brother Jay quoted a verse this morning. God took us to Isaiah 11:1. A shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Isaiah 11:10. In that day, the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the people. His resting place will be glorious. It's not David we want to see. It's the root of David.
Yeah, amen. Hallelujah.
It's the root of David. And I called attention to the fact that God gave this special promise that he'd always keep the lamp of David going. We're still going to look at that lamp. We're still going to see that light. But we want to take it from the standpoint of the root of David. Our studies, with the light I have now, there's still time for the Lord to bump me again. But our studies, we're going to look at the individual, the king, and his kingdom, the body. There is a relationship between the king and the body that he represents. And that influence in the king touched the body. And so we've got to look at both of those. Isaiah 53:2. He grew up before him as a tender shoot and like a root out of a parched ground. Revelation 5:5. Stop weeping. Behold the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. And the book almost closes with these words, I, Jesus, I am the root, the descendant of David. But the root, as it grows, produces a branch. Isaiah 4:2, in that day the branch of the Lord will be beautiful, glorious. And the fruit of the earth will be the pride and the adornment of the survivors or the remnant of Israel. Jeremiah 23:5. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll raise up for David a righteous branch. He'll reign as king and will act wisely. Zechariah 6, verse 12. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, the man whose name is the branch, he will branch out from where he is, and it is he who will build the temple of the Lord. The root is Christ. The branch is Christ. The tree, that's his people. That's you, that's me, that's us. And so we're going to keep, Lord willing, we're going to keep that illustration of botany. And we're going to follow the root because the tree keeps coming down. But the root lives. And the root is seeking someone with a heart like David's. And when that root finds that someone, that root grows up and a branch comes out. The life of the root, the life of Christ. Not every branch on the tree is Christ, but there is a branch. And each of these kings represent. And we're going to follow that root, and we're going to follow as he rises up in Asa, and we're going to see the branch that is Christ, and then we're going to see why the tree came down, the warning. But the root lives, and so the root goes on and looks for another tree and so on. So we're going to look at it that way. David the king was a man after God's heart, and we're going to stick to the kings. I don't want to give you the idea that God only found five people in 700 years. That root also found a prophet and a prophetess and a servant of God. And the root was coming up all over the place. But for our purposes and for our focus, we're going to look at the five times this root came up in the kings. Underground, out of sight, the root lives. After David's tree, David had branches everywhere. The root was able in David. That's why he became the model. That's why he became the illustration. And you see the branch coming out in many places on his tree. You also see a few branches that were not the branch. But we're not going to get into that. But anyway, after David died, two kings went by, and 20 years went by, and the root is looking for someone whose heart is toward him. And he finds this man called Asa. And That branch was allowed to produce for 41 years in Asa. And then something happened and the tree came down. But the root lives. And the root was looking again. 78 years went by before the root found another tree. And that tree came up. Well, actually, with Asa, it was right away, his son. Boom. All right. Now, there's 78 years. We're going toward Uzziah. And Uzziah is king number 10. And so that's how long it took. And after Uzziah, and Uzziah reigned for 52 years, that branch was bearing fruit. And then something brought the tree down. See, we want to see the branch and what brought it down. The branch is that which keeps the flame burning. The warning is that which threatens to take the tree down. But even when the tree comes down, the root lives. And the root finds another. 2 Kings later, 30 years later, Hezekiah, king number 13. And the branch comes up again. And this beautiful branch. And we'll look at the principle that God recovers, that God brings back again. And there's life in the camp. And with Hezekiah, for 29 years, there was life in the camp. And then something brought the tree down. 2 Kings later, 46 years go by, and that root is seeking somebody. Somebody with a heart. And that root comes up again, Josiah. And for 31 years, there's blossoms. And he's king number 16. So God just, there's one here, number three and number four and number six and number 13 and number, he goes through the kings and he keeps coming back. Romans 11:18 says, remember, it's not you who support the root. It's the root who supports you. And so at Joshua, we want to follow the root. And we want to see his illustrations as he comes up in these kings and how there is a branch, a life of Christ. And those branches that are not him, they're coming down. They're coming down. Now there's two ways to look at that. The individual can be the whole tree. And it's just this age old, you know, the spirit versus the flesh, and that which is not Christ will be rooted up. You can look at it that way. Or you can look at it, the branch is the individual affecting the body, the whole tree. And we believe at this point, he wants us to look at it both ways. So we'll probably be doing that. So how does the branch, the individual, affect the tree? Very, very important principles we'll be touching. Please pray for that. Because that is life-changing, really. It's just a tremendous thing. But anyway, this is the history of Israel. Christ shows himself, and the tree comes down. And the root looks for somebody else and comes up again. 586 years go by before, out of a dry ground in the little town of Bethlehem, the root comes again in the person of Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at the branches. Oh, the life of God. So wonderful. And they tried to take that tree down. As we sang so wonderfully, the king is coming. That branch lives. That tree lives again. And he desires to live in us. So we're going to keep that idea, the root, the branch, the tree. It comes down. The root, the branch. The root is Christ. The branch is Christ. the tree is Christ in us. And so, Lord willing, pray for us. That's what we want to look at Joshua. And pray for us, especially this week. Tom will be coming, I don't know, tomorrow or Tuesday, and we'll spend the week together before the Lord. It's not a game. We're serious before the Lord, and we're seeking for His heart. So pray for us. And I thank you for that. Anyway, let's just pray together. Father, thank you for your precious word. Not what we think that it means, but what you've revealed to our hearts that it means. Thank you for your faithfulness in taking my eyes off David and putting them on the root of David. Thank you for taking my eyes off some principle that the king had and putting them on the branch, our Lord Jesus. And we just pray that you would prepare hearts for Joshua, and that once again, as you wend your way through dry soil, you might find some heart that's open for you, through which you can manifest your life. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.